Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with Brett Schaefer of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk specifically about the Internet and what changes perhaps are we looking at in the future because of what happened on October 1. Brett, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me on.
All right. Now, prior to October 1, 2016, which has already passed, we were told that the Internet was going to be transferred over as far as oversight of the Internet from the United States to some foreign entities. Can you explain to us what the threat was or is?
Mm-hmm. Sure. The United States, through the Department of Defense and U.S. funding and support of academics that were working on this issue, helped develop and create the Internet back in the 1960s. And the U.S. was basically the overseer of this, this network of networks, so to speak. And it was finally opened up for commercial use in the early 1990s, but that spurred a dramatic growth in the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S., as the manager of this, didn't want to assume the increased responsibilities and requirements of this rapidly expanding network. And so what they did is they created an institution called ICANN, the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, to manage this for them. That its only task would be to add new top-level domains like .com or .net or .mil or .gov and make sure that everything worked in terms of when you typed into your web browser, you went to the correct place to resolve yourself to the website that you want to reach. So this is what ICANN was expected to do. And so it transferred that day-to-day operation over to ICANN, but the U.S. retained sort of a residual overseer role. It would receive the changes that ICANN suggested and then would check the boxes and review them to make sure that all the correct procedures and processes were followed and that nothing would happen that would endanger the security, stability and resiliency of the Internet. And so that was the state of play up until this past Saturday. And in 2014, the Obama administration said, we're going to withdraw from this process, and we're going to give our responsibilities to something called the multi-stakeholder community, which is...
The multi-state what?
Multi-stakeholder community.
Okay.
And it sounds strange. It's not the UN. In the UN system, governments are in charge, and it's a one government, one vote kind of system, and civil society and businesses are all on the sidelines, right? This is something different. Governments have a role in this, and they're going to have a voting power under the new framework, something they never had before inside of ICANN, which was run primarily and almost solely by the private sector. Governments are now going to have greater authority, but there's also going to be voting powers by the technical community, the businesses and civil society and other parts of the ICANN community. And together, they're collectively known as the multi-stakeholder community. And so the Obama administration told ICANN, okay, we want to make this transfer happen. We need you to propose certain changes to your organization to assure us that the multi-stakeholder community is actually going to be able to hold you accountable and actually fulfill the role and responsibilities performed by the United States up until this point. And so they for 2 years, I worked on this, and other people at Heritage also worked on this, proposed these changes to the ICANN as an organization, changes to the bylaws, changes to how processes are done in terms of appeals to ICANN decisions, et cetera. And we participated in this. The Obama administration, ICANN finalized it. They submitted it to the Obama administration. The Obama administration said, this looks great to us, and we're going to move forward with it. However, people like myself are more skeptical. We have questions about whether the multi-stakeholder community is actually going to be able to act in a way that would be able to hold ICANN accountable. In over the past 2 years, we've seen that this community is very fractious. They don't come to consensus very easily. They have different interests that often are at odds with one another. Mm. And we question whether they're going to be able to be an effective check on the ICANN board and the ICANN staff. We also note that a lot of the changes that we've been proposing are incomplete. A number of important things like increased transparency in ICANN, improved or more rigorous staff accountability, things like what is ICANN's human rights obligations? What are they going to be, and to what extent are they going to apply? Will ICANN remain a U.S. corporation? These are all different questions that have not yet been even drafted, much less adopted, and they're not going to be finalized at the earliest until next summer.
So in other words, your feeling is that even if this was a good thing, even if it were, it's too premature in the transition, in the handover.
That's entirely correct.
Okay.
That there are so many outstanding questions and that the proposal itself is incomplete that to move forward at this time is somewhat reckless. And by reckless, meaning we don't know exactly what could happen. ICANN could become a corrupt organization. This is a very lucrative business that they've been involved in. They essentially have monopoly powers. They can decide who and who does not win various domain names. They put them up for auction. Recently, they put up .web for auction and got $145 million for it. Very expensive and lucrative business that they're in. They have the ability to put obligations on registrars and registries as to what they have to do in order to maintain their current privileged role in terms of managing these domain names. So ICANN could put in the contracts that they have to do X, Y, and Z, and the businesses would have to go along with that unless the community rallies and pushes back, which I said before, I question whether it can do that. So there are lots of different questions as to whether ICANN is going to be actually held accountable later on, whether it could, or instead will be corrupt and abuse its monopoly authority. There are also some legal questions as to whether ICANN's new bylaws actually comply, for instance, with California law, what the impact of antitrust litigation is going to be on the organization moving forward. There's questions about whether the Obama administration fully complied with the law in moving forward with this decision. And so there are lots of practical concerns and lots of legal concerns and lots of just unknown questions that led us at the Heritage Foundation to recommend delaying this decision for at least a year until some of these questions can be answered and settled.
And I understand some of the attorney generals of some of our states filed suit to try and prevent this switchover.
Yeah, they said that they went to court and they said that this decision is potentially impacting their interests as states because they have .gov email addresses. And under the contract, ICANN theoretically could redesignate .mil and .gov to somebody else other than the U.S. government. And that is one of the big oversights that the Obama administration deliberately neglected to do. We raised this concern early on, but they said that it was not something that they thought needed to be resolved. And they said that they, and you know, they published these letters that they exchanged with ICANN where ICANN said, well, if we do redesignate, we're going to let you know ahead of time. And that's nice, but it's not a legally binding contract that would give the United States government ownership and control over these domains in perpetuity, which is what we thought should be. And the U.S. government was in a position to dictate that. ICANN wanted the transition to happen. The U.S. government could very easily have gone to ICANN and said, we want this. We want the contract. We want the ownership. We want everything on our terms. And ICANN would have complied with that. But we didn't do it for reasons that remain unclear.
Did you say that the United Nations essentially would be kind of the model that would be followed in the future? Because if that's the case, think of the implications of that for somebody who would say would be perceived as being, let's say, critical of Islam, when in reality all they're doing is saying, look, these Muslims here in this particular context are persecuting these Christians, or they're trying to blow Israel out of the map, you know, off the map. That is something that should be said and should be allowed to be said, but if some people had their druthers, that kind of stuff would be censored from the Internet.
Well, it's a concern. In terms of the United Nations, the Obama administration said that they did not want that to happen. That was one of the reasons why they wanted the transition to happen. They said that they were concerned that if the U.S. tried to maintain its oversight of ICANN, that would encourage Russia, China, Iran to go to the U.N. and try and impose U.N. oversight over the Internet, and that they think that this transition now would prevent that. So that's their perspective. I certainly don't want the UN to assume a governance role over the internet. But I doubt very seriously that the transition itself is going to lead Russia, China, and Iran not to pursue that goal inside the United Nations. They've wanted to do that for a long time. This transition doesn't give them, even though governments are going to have more authority under the post-transition ICANN, it's not exactly what the Russia, China, and Irans of the world want. And so they're going to continue to pursue that goal. So I think that's a fight we're going to have regardless. So I don't think that we've seen the end of that. In terms of censorship...
Yes. Censorship, I think, is the key point.
I think it is not likely under the current proposal that governments are going to be able to censor the internet through their leverage inside of ICANN. They don't have that type of power. But as I said, maybe that frustration leads governments to go to the UN. But another possibility is that ICANN could be vulnerable and have such headaches with the antitrust legislation or litigation that it could lead them to approach and try and forge a relationship with the United Nations to shield itself, because the United Nations has privileges and immunities that would shield ICANN from that type of litigation. So that's a possibility as well. But even more likely is, I mentioned early on, that inside of ICANN there's this discussion about what ICANN's human rights commitments are. Well, right now ICANN doesn't have any human rights commitments. It's a business, not a government, so the treaties don't apply to it. But a large number of people inside the ICANN community would like it to have some specific obligations in terms of human rights. And where those human rights, for instance, free speech, comes in tension with the with other rights that are important to other countries or other individuals, defamation of religions could be one of those. These individuals are arguing that there needs to be some kind of modification and balance struck between the competing rights. So if somebody said free speech is important, another one said defamation of religions is important, then some sort of balance would have to be there where perhaps free speech could be infringed upon, where you couldn't have a dot Islam or a dot Prophet Muhammad or whatever the TLD name that you're trying to get would have, and that would be barred in the interest of trying to protect against a violation of a human right to defamation of religions.
Okay, so what is the take-home message of all this? What does this mean to John Q. listener right now who, let's say, relies on the internet? I mean, think about how much commerce and everything, how much of our daily lives is consumed with the internet. And with this, we'll close. Go ahead, sir.
Sure. Right now, I don't think anybody's going to notice any difference in the way the internet is managed. I think ICANN has a financial interest, in maintaining the security, stability, and resiliency of the internet. I think we're going to see things continue apace. It's down the road that I'm more concerned. I'm more concerned that ICANN potentially could abuse its monopoly authority to enrich itself or to advance certain interests, whether there's a government interest or business interest or other interests. And I think that is where we could see some negative effects down the road in terms of putting their thumb on the scale in terms of who gets certain TLDs, interfering in the allocation of the TLD. By TLDs, I mean top-level domains, the .coms, et cetera.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Will some of them just not be offered? Some applications just not accepted because they're too objectionable or too controversial, even though there may not be a hard and firm rule against them. And so you could get some censorship at the top level just because ICANN doesn't want the headaches or doesn't want to invite a controversy on itself.
Sure.
And so it could be a self-checking thing that leads to censorship rather than an overt instruction to censor.
Okay, Brett Schaefer of the Heritage Foundation, thanks so much for being with us. Heritage.org for more information. All the best to you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.